we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Friday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to, once again, to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. Today, my name is Bob Arthurs. Yesterday, my name was Bob Arthurs. Tomorrow, my name will be Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're always just looking for little interesting ways to make you smile and get your day off to a good start. But we do want to thank you for tuning in today, whether you're listening on WMIE 91.5 or WWBC 1510 AM, wherever you might. You might even be listening on the Internet on Demand feature, however that works for you. And if you hear something and you miss it, or you hear something you want to go back and listen to it again, you can always go to WMIEFM.com and find the on-demand feature down at the bottom of the page. Click on the specific date and re-listen to that broadcast by clicking on the Refresh with Bob Arthurs link on that page. We hope that you are already off to a good start. I shared with our congregation on Sunday that about 41% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. By the end of January, 40% of those people who've made resolutions have already given up on that resolution, and that statistically only about 9% of the people who make resolutions actually see those things through. If you do the math, that means that there's only about 3.6 to 3.7, 4% somewhere in there. Only about 3 to 4% of Americans are making any noticeable change that by their own declaration, they desire, they want, and see the need to make that change in their life. And yet, many of us are stuck in the same cycle over and over and over again. So I pray that your 2018 is off to a good start, and that you are still on track to make 2018 the best year that you have ever had in your growing and your serving of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you know Him in all of His glory in this year. We do want to say thank you to the fine folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you need any assistance with your heating, your air conditioning, or electrical, I encourage you to give them a call. They are very, very good at what they do. They will come out in a timely manner. They follow up well, and they will be a blessing to you. They know things you don't know. And so, especially when it comes to electricity, I like to leave that to the experts. When it comes to air conditioning and heating, in Florida, that is a very high priority item. And so do not just ignore those basic needs in your life. Make sure that you take care of them. And if you, the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and that would be a blessing to us. So today we're going to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 again. We were there yesterday, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18 today. Some of this we touched on yesterday, but it sets the stage for where we are going today. And it says in verse number 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him and for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so Paul begins to in verse number 12, and he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So like I said yesterday, Jesus' opinion is the opinion that really matters. So many times we live our lives under the weight of other people's scrutiny, of giving greater weight to what they declare and what they say than what Jesus has to say about the situation. And so I don't want to live my life calloused towards other people. If they choose to live in a calloused manner, that's their choice. It doesn't have to be mine. I try to be sensitive to the Lord, and I try to be sensitive to those that God would have me to serve. But like I said earlier, there are some people who want to keep people away so that they really don't know anything about them. I've known people that said, look, when you get up before people, as far as those people know, you've never had a problem, you've never had a challenge, and you're not going through anything right now. That's not realistic. We live in a fallen world. If you aren't having any challenges, what are you doing? If you go to the gym and lift weights, that weight should be a challenge for you, not just a repetition for you. You and I, the only way that we know if we're growing is by the level of opposition we are facing, whether it's the weights on the machine or the challenges that we have in life. And so faithfulness is not something that comes easy. It is something that comes supernaturally. People, by their very nature, are unfaithful. If you look around at society, do not be surprised when you see that the farther away from God people get, the more unfaithful they become. See, man apart from God is a self-centered individual, selfish, wanting everything. It's only as we come to God and he calls us out of our previous way of life that he makes a transformation in us, and by the Spirit of God produces in us the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. So he counted Paul faithful, and then he put him into the ministry. We talked about that yesterday. I'm not going to belabor that point anymore, but I wanted to focus on one more phrase there, and it says, "But I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me." Who has enabled me. As you are being faithful to serve in the capacity that God has positioned you to serve in, do not just fixate yourself upon natural resources, your own giftings, your own strength, your own finances. It's one of the reasons that people struggle when it comes to the area of being financially faithful, is they look at their own circumstances and they say, I can't afford to honor God in the tithe. I can't afford to honor God with a love offering, with a first fruits offering. And my opinion is this. You can take it, you can leave it, but my opinion for a church or for an individual is you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. It is too hard. Ministry is hard. It is costly. It is time consuming. It is, taxing on you physically. I had some people tell us during December, y'all are too busy. Y'all are too busy. And my response was, I tried to tell you. And so, there are some chaplains that I know that participate in what are called ride-alongs, and journalists sometimes do ride-alongs with law enforcement and fire department personnel and probably some EMTs and all of that sort of stuff. And as you ride along, you begin to discover the reality of the world that they live in. I encourage you to do a ride-along sometime. If you have an opportunity, do a ride-along with your pastor or with your assistant pastor, your Sunday school teacher, you know, and just see what they go through in life. It'll give you a greater understanding. But you and I, we can't do that in our strength. We can only do those things as God enables us. So when I first became the pastor at Merit Assembly of God, we had a handful of people, and we set out to do a lot of ministry. When my retail job came to a halt, I started doing even more ministry outside of the church. I've done jail ministry. I've done nursing home ministry. We did sidewalk Sunday schools and things like that. We set out to do that, and finally it got to the point I said, God, I am willing to do every ministry that you present us an opportunity to do, but God, it's up to you to provide the laborers. It's up to you to provide the resources that is going to result in these ministries being taken place. And God, until you enable us, we're just going to do what you've already enabled us to do. And so that's where we came, because my responsibility is not to kill the saints. My job is to equip the saints. It's not to wear them out from exhaustion. And so there are many times where I will say, okay, we're going to give you a break, and we're going to allow you to have some family time and some fellowship time to recover from the extra work of ministry that has gone on. Because my responsibility as the pastor is to know the condition of the flock. And I want them serving faithfully, but I also want them to be faithful in their marriage, faithful to their families, faithful as stewards of the temple of the Holy Spirit that they have in their body. And so we want faithfulness in those areas. So what is God enabling you to do today? My responsibility is to be faithful and to be deemed so by God. My responsibility is to serve, and it's to serve under His enabling with His resources. So I want to challenge you for 2018 that you do that. Paul says, I want you to understand the background that I came from. And we talked about some of those shortcomings in yesterday's program. In verse number 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So during those verses, from verses 13 through verse 15, Paul reminds the Timothy of what a flawed background, what a flawed human being Paul was, and that Jesus came not for perfect people, but He came to do a work in flawed individuals. And Paul said, out of all of the flawed individuals on planet Earth, he said, I was the chief. I was the best at it. I was a professional sinner. I was the biggest sinner. I was a professional sinner. But it was for me and for people like me that Jesus came in to the world. And I so appreciate that about Paul, that he remembers the background from where he came. And it created in him a compassion for people who were currently in the same situation that he found himself in. Unfortunately, a lot of times, the farther we get away from that miraculous conversion that took place where Jesus became our Lord, our Savior, our King, we tend to forget about the hopelessness, the depravity, the feelings of helplessness that sinners feel. So Paul writes to Timothy, he said, this is a faithful saying. This is a true, irrefutable saying. It is, you can trust what I am saying here. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said, it is not those who are well that need a physician, it's the sick. And the reality is, we all have an affliction of some sort. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us is in need of salvation. So today, if your 2018 is getting off to a kind of a rough start, and I was driving around on January the 1st, and I saw someone getting arrested that day. It wasn't anyone that I knew. I was just driving down the road, and there was a person surrounded by police cars, sheriff's deputies, and there they were in handcuffs. And it's like, that's not the way he wanted his new year to start, I don't believe. You know, and here we are, you know, not quite 2 weeks into the new year yet, but if you have already realized that you've got to take a different strategy, a different approach to your life if you're going to see different results, I encourage you to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, Paul told Timothy that this was a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me. I'll never forget when I was in youth ministry, I was talking to our youth group and was talking about how we needed to be saved. And in all honesty, one of the most encouraging moments of my youth ministry was, it happened with this guy. I can't even tell you what his name is, but he simply asked this: saved from what? Saved from what? And, you know, what a glorious opportunity. What a wide open door that we are saved from our sins. We are saved from ourselves. We are saved from the dominion of darkness. We are saved from a destination of spending eternity apart from Jesus Christ. Saved from meaninglessness. Saved from worthlessness. Saved from a graceless life. That's what Jesus came to save us from. He came to save us from our sins. And one of the other things that happened with that particular young man, we didn't have a large youth ministry, but we touched people's lives. And a number of them are still serving the Lord, and some of them even went into ministry, and we're very thankful for that. But one night we had a beach night. It was a back to school beach bash, and we went down to the ocean, and we had set up in the park, and this young man had a cross necklace, if I remember, and somehow during the event that necklace was lost, and he was quite upset about it. And so we gathered up all the chaperones and all of the youth, and we started scouring. I don't know if you've ever tried to find things in the beach sand, but the more that you move, the more oftentimes things get concealed. And we searched and searched, and it was getting dark, and that meant that there wasn't going to be an opportunity to find this necklace for this young man very much longer. And finally my wife said, okay, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stop looking, and we're going to pray. And so we prayed, and after we prayed. Now, mind you, we've all looked in this area, in the same area. And after we prayed, my wife looked at this young man and said, okay, where was the last place that you saw it? And he said, well, I think it was right about, and he reached his hand down and he picked up his necklace out of the sand and he said, right here. It was literally standing, or that he was standing right in front of where the necklace was, and we had been looking for it and looking for it, and God, or and hadn't been able to find it. But after we prayed, God opened his eyes so that he could see what was right before him. Today, I want you to know that the faithful saying that Paul told Timothy is still faithful today. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Paul goes on. Let's conclude this verse today, verse number 16. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy. He said there was a purpose in my salvation, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He saves you. He wants to save you. He wants to spend eternity for you. And there's a reason why he wants to do it now. And that is, he wants to demonstrate his long suffering and his patience in your life so that it will be a living sermon, if I can put it that way. So it can be a living demonstration of what God wants to do in the lives of people around you. I believe it was Francis of Assisi who said, preach always. Use words when necessary. Have you given any contemplation, any consideration to whatever it is that God is doing in your life right now is not just about you, and it's not just about me. It's about a tangible manifestation of the working of God in your life, so that it can be an example to those who are going to believe in Jesus Christ for everlasting life. And I will tell you this, when given the opportunity to join with the crowd and turn their backs on Jesus, Peter said, Lord, where would we go? To whom would we go? No one else has the words of eternal life. Today, no matter how steeped in sin you are, whether you are one of those, if you're actively engaged in something that was described in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10, whether you're like Paul and you were a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent person, or you were the chief sinner of all your family, if you were the town drunk, or you were the town drug addict, or the town thief, or whatever it might be, whether it's arrogance or any of those other things, no matter where you are in that spectrum, God's love and his ability to save is enough to reach you no matter how deeply entrenched you are. But he wants to do it so that others around you will see the transforming grace of God manifest in you. Do you realize that we are to live our lives in such a way that our lives become, if I can put it this way, covetable? That people see the goodness of God and they say, I wonder how I get that into my life. Over the Christmas holidays and New Year's, I forget exactly where it was in the season, but my family was watching the Pioneer Woman, and she was cooking a breakfast casserole, and she was doing it for a party that was going to take place at her house the next day or something like that. And she said, this is really simple. And, as my daughter was sitting there, I was watching the program and I'm looking at it and saying, well, that's nice. My daughter was looking at it with an entirely different mindset. My daughter was looking at it and saying, I think I can make that. I think I can do that. And she wasn't there and she didn't write down the recipe or anything like that. She just said, I think that what I'm seeing with my eyes, I can duplicate in my kitchen. And it must have been prior to New Year's, because on New Year's Day, I believe she made that. If it wasn't that day, it was close. If I get a detail wrong, forgive me. But she duplicated what she saw another person doing. She said, you know what? That looks so good. That looks so delicious. I think I'll make a modification. I think I'll improve on it just a little bit. And let's see where it goes from there. And so she did that. Wouldn't it be awesome if you and I were living our lives before our neighbors, our family members, and our coworkers in such a delightful and delicious way, if I can put it that way, to where other people said, you know what? I think that what God is doing in their life, he could do in my life as well. And I know that it's a faithful saying. Today, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I encourage you to do so today. You won't regret it. Your family will be blessed because of the decision you make. Your neighbors and your employer will be thankful for the decision you make to live life as a faithful servant of God. And allow God, as we talked about at the beginning of the program, let God be the one who enables you to be a faithful minister. God will provide. God will strengthen. I want to build your faith up today. Trust in the faithfulness of God. He is faithful to save. He is faithful to call you into service. And he is faithful to enable you to accomplish that which he's called you to do. He will not let you down. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.